ナマステギリラジャヤ。シガワラナナミネ。アシェシャクレシャナシャヤ。パラマナンダダイネハレクリシュナハレクリシュナクリシュナクリシュナハレハレハレラマハレラマRama Rama Hare Hare
I would like to welcome all of you for this second part of our Govardhan Katha during the Govardhan Retreat 2012. I request all of you to make yourself comfortable. Yesterday we gave a little bit, a kind of orientation, which is necessary for us to appreciate that this is actually a spiritual practice for which we have come. It is something which is not just listening to a story, but it is a sadhana, a spiritual practice which will make us more attracted to Krishna and drive away sinful tendencies from our heart, especially the tendency of the ego, the pride, as we will hear today. A great problem which we have when we come to such a place as Giriraj Govardhan to engage in prolonged hearing about Krishna is that we are there only with our body, and the body is only half awake because of climatic influences and the heavy duty to digest the good meals, but our mind is not connected to the practice. Any spiritual practice which is not connected, or where the mind does not connect, will not deliver the full benefit. Only when the mind comes together with the practice will there be the full benefit. Especially in hearing, the scriptures, Jiva Goswami gives us a very good example which I once heard. When you hear a spiritual subject matter, your full attention should follow the description, almost like a calf will follow the cow, which has a full udder. The calf knows only when I get to that udder of my mother can I drink the life-giving milk. In the same way, a devotee who listens to Krishna Katha should know I need to follow the Katha. If I lose it, if I lose the connection and I miss any point, it's like the calf who loses his mother. Krishna Katha, or especially the Katha of Krishna Leelas, is that which nourishes the devotee on his or her spiritual path. But if you lose the Katha, you are like a calf which has lost his mother and now cries in the absence of the mother. there are a few techniques which are given how to hear spiritual subject matters. The first qualification is with faith, Shraddha. If you think, oh, this is not important for me, or this is just a time filler, that is not so good. Then it is said, you need to hear it regularly. You need to have regularly a dose of the Bhagavatam. Because when you hear, you establish a certain field in your consciousness, a more spiritual consciousness. And when you, again in this world, stop hearing, that field disintegrates and you have to establish it again. I think you all know this when you stop reading, like many of you have done, and then all of a sudden decide, I will start my reading practice again. You find it more difficult to enter if you, because you have stopped. But if you regularly, nityam is the Sanskrit word, hear this, that is very good. The third advice, which is given in the Bhagavatam, these are three advices from the second canto, 8th chapter, text 4, is that you must hear this, what is called sva-cheshtitam. Sva means one's own, and cheshtitam means effort. You must be willing, as you are entering the hearing process, to invest a special effort, a special endeavor, so that it will be possible for you to derive the full benefit. That effort is mainly, as we heard yesterday from Prabhupada, to stay attentive, or be what he called full of rapt attention. Rapt is, here I will turn to Vishakha. What is rapt? Rapt means without distraction. Yeah? Now, I don't know, you are from English-speaking countries. Rapt, I think the word rapture is connected to this. Could that be? Yeah, rapt. It's something for the dictionary to inquire. Rapt attention, what registers still in me when I'm sorry, I'm from Germany, and we always need to understand everything like a mathematician. It's somehow, you know, you must be there, wrapped, you know, wrapped in thought means absorbed is maybe a good word. So these are three rules which you can apply immediately, with faith, regularly, and with rapt attention. This special endeavor needs to be given. And I would really love to give you for this kata the little advice, go into the role of a calf. A calf, and follow like a calf. Calf follows the mother. That's an example of rapt attention. She really looks, where is she going? I'm really eager to drink that milk, you know. The calf will not forget the cow. It will just stay connected. It will be moving maybe 2 meters or 1 meter or 50 centimeters behind that udder. So you have to follow the words. I really tried that yesterday when Jagatarini Mataji gave this most wonderful narration of a very difficult Sanskrit text, but she did it so well. But I noticed I had to follow her words, or at least the parts of the sentences she said, like the calf followed the cow. And I did it, and I got everything. I downloaded everything. Previously, when I did not follow this advice of Jiva Goswami, I would sometimes be in a talk and then be out. And this is the problem which we conditioned souls have. When we chant the holy name, when we hear about Krishna, we are sometimes there and then we lose it and we fall out of grace, so to say, out of the spiritual vibration. So in this katha, for best results, I recommend you to become calves who follow the text of the Bhagavatams. But even before we will start this katha, I would like to read to you something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is important as an inner orientation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave in his book, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, a beautiful recommendation for those who want to chant the holy name. And the same recommendation holds true for those who want to hear Krishna Katha. Would you like to hear that? I would have read it anyways. Listen very carefully. Now, you have to now be the calf, right? Full attention, rapt attention. That endeavor, I really want from all of you this commitment. Even before entering the field of Nam Bhajan, one should first know for certain that Krishna's form, Krishna's name, Krishna's service, and Krishna's servants are all eternally free. So what you will hear is not a fairy tale of the world. It's something from the eternal dimension. That is, everything is beyond the grasp of Maya, the illusory energy. Maya can't go there. Krishna, his transcendental abode and his paraphernalia are totally beyond material imagination. Similarly, his throne, his rooms, his gardens, his forest, Govardhan Hill, the river Jamuna, in fact, everything about Krishna cannot be touched by Maya. It is especially important to remember this transcendental nature of Lord Krishna when we approach his service, of which chanting his holy name is foremost. This understanding is not based on blind belief, but on absolute and eternal truth. So, what we will hear today is something which, although appearing to be talked about in words which we can understand, it's something which is really absolutely spiritual and transcendental. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satadine Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sudhi Devi Pranamami Priye Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare When Indra did not receive his yearly dues from the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he lost entirely his temper. Although he was placed on a very, very high position, he shivered uncontrollably with rage. He totally lost his composure, so much so that everyone in the heavenly planets was shocked. They had never seen Indra like that. They had seen him passionate, they had seen him aggressive, but they had not seen him so totally out of balance. We could ask the question, what difference did it make for him that these gopas did not offer a few foodstuffs for him? He received so much from all the planets. Indra Puja is a very common thing in this universe. Why did he lose his temper? He was a cultured person. When you lose your temper in front of others, it means you are low class. Why did Indra succumb to such fury? And another question is there. These were powerless human beings in comparison to him, the residents of Vrindavan, on one level. Have you ever seen a lion attacking a mosquito? With everything and growling and jumping, you would see this lion has lost his mind. It is not proper for a person of a superior status to become so angry on people whom are in comparison insignificant. So the question is why was Indra so absolutely disturbed? And the answer is he was particularly disturbed that Krishna was seen by Nanda Maharaj and the Brajavasis as Bhagavan, that is the supreme powerful person. Secretly, Indra was coveting this idea, I'm the Lord. He thought, I'm thousands of Bhagavans in comparison to this Krishna. Now, Indra had 1,000 eyes on his body, but he could not see what everyone saw. That is, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is all-powerful, or in the eyes of the Brijvasis, all-lovable. It was because he was blinded. His perception was not there. The intoxicant which blinded him was not alcohol or honey wine. The intoxication was pride, which came out of the false ego. The moment you are pride, that moment you lose your vision. Humility, on the other side, is that vision which grants you a perception of reality. The moment you are proud, something happens in your perception, which the Bhagavatam describes like this. You become like a person who has turned around and around and around, stops now and thinks the whole environment is spinning around him. Maybe you had this after you had sufficient dancing in the wheel position, you know. You stand and all of a sudden there is an impression that everything turns around you. So a prideful person thinks, although he is most probably the most uninteresting feature of the universe, that in fact he is that part or that person around whom everything turns. This is a very great misapprehension, it's called, and it is it happened to Indra. Once, and you know why this pride comes? It's the subtle form of lusty desires. Once Sita Devi, when she was in the forest with her Lord Ram, asked Ram, by what symptoms can I recognize a person who is full of lust? Maybe this is a question which is interesting for ladies also, who walk alone in a dangerous territory. You know, by what symptoms does a man who is full of lust betray himself to the outside? And Lord Ramachandra says, a person who is full of lust gives inappropriate punishment to those who are subordinate to him. He's so prideful that he puts himself before and gives inappropriate punishment. To say it in simple ISKCON terms, he loses his temper. He loses his composure, like Indra did. His overreaction was due to the fact that he was really full of lusty desires to enjoy this world. And therefore, he was so easily shaken. And he could not see Krishna standing right in front of him. In fact, he was highly dependent on being worshipped by others. It was his life. Judging from Indra's reaction, we clearly know that he is not the Supreme Being. There's an example. It was once at the banks of the Sarasvati where the greatest rishi of their times met to decide who is worshipped, who is to be worshipped as the Supreme Personality. Bhrigu Muni was chosen, and he needed now a test by which he would test various personality. And he chose a very interesting test. He wanted to find out the person who was not in need of respect. By that how do you say, paradigm or qualification. He wanted to find out who's the greatest. If you are needy that someone respects you, if you are a Swami or a Guru and you need that others pay you obeisances, if you are a senior devotee and you are dependent on younger offering you a seat in order to feel happy and integrated, it means you are a very needy person and you eat the dangerous food of respect. For a person who is needy of others' respect, if he receives the respect, that's the greatest poison in his spiritual development. It's not good for him to get this, because his neediness and his spiritual insufficiency and lack of spiritual realization will not be cured. So first, Bhrigu approached Brahma. He was the son of Brahma, but didn't offer him obeisances. He just stood like this. Brahma thought, but Bhrigu is my son, yet he did not offer me respect. But because Brahma is much more qualified than Indra, he just swallowed his anger and his being upset. He didn't say anything. Next, Bhrigu, but Bhrigu, who is a saint, he can understand what goes on in the mind of others, that, oh, he's really disturbed. Next, Bhrigu went to Mount Kailash to see his brother Shiva. And Shiva was in bliss. How nice, my younger brother has come. And he approached him with outstretched arms, like you approach someone whom you like. But Bhrigu now wanted to be a little bit more disrespectful. He didn't just bow down. He said, "Stop, brother, stop. Before you touch me, stop. I ask you a question. Have you taken your bath today?" It's known that Lord Shiva is Avadut. Shiva was amazed. He was in the midst of a meeting. There were saints standing around him. But by the heavy address, he also lost his temper. He said, "Too much!" He took his tree shawl and he began chasing after Bhrigu. And if Parvati would not have stopped him, that would be the murder of Bhrigu, you know. Then he calmed down. Bhrigu thought, okay, he is also quite dependent on respect, and decided to go to Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. Now, the gates of Vaikuntha were heavenly guarded, but because he was a Brahmana and he was so renowned, he was just waved through. And he went right into the room where Vishnu was reclining and Lakshmi was massaging him. He came from behind. Vishnu didn't see him and quickly moved before Vishnu and kicked him with his foot on the chest. Then he said, "You are always sleeping. What an indecency." It was quite intense. Vishnu immediately got up, and maybe Bhrigu was in the first moment. He said, "Oh, saint, I'm so sorry. You must have hurt your lotus feet." Then he took Bhrigu on his asana, kneeled down and pressed his foot to relieve any possible pressure on the feet of Brigo. Brigo began to cry. He thought, I have found the Supreme Lord. He went back to the Saraswati and declared, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasava Vritya Yare Yaiche Nachai Setaiche Karinritya. He must have said this in Sanskrit. This was based in Bengali. Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them to dance. So we can understand that the force of pride and anger, because of not feeling respected, had blinded Indra, and therefore he screamed out, Megavata, Jalavata, and ordered his servants, call the armies. I remember in my days when I was a music lover, there was a song called Revenge, Revenge, Revenge. So I think this is an old song. Indra must have sung it in Sanskrit. Suras sings about this reaction of Indra. He says, Indra said, this child has acted in an arrogant way towards me. He has shown his real nature. I am the king of 33,000 devatas, but he has ignored me. Up till now I have maintained these ahiras, but now they want to die. They have put their hands into fire. In the end, everyone finds reasons for what they want to do. But I will crush this mountain into pieces by my Raja. Nanda will see this with his own eyes. He will have to look on as his kingdom will vanquish in the floods and be swept in the ocean. Only after I have seen him suffering like that will I kill him also. This was what came over Indra. And based on this misapprehension, he made a plan. He called all his ministers. He distributed pan to them and gave garlands on their heads. And then he sent the big clouds, which were carried by the big winds, the maruts, and spread quickly over Braj. They placed lightning bolts over Braj, rods of rain with thunder, they hurled down hailstone. No one had ever heard such noise or seen such devastation in their lives. The sun hid away, not being able to tolerate to see what would happen, and everything turned pitch black. Now Shukadev Goswami starts his katha by saying that Lord Krishna is the powerful time. And I hope I will be able to find this. Yeah. Shishika Shuka Uvacha Kalatmana Bhagavata Shakradarpajigangsaya Proktam Nisham Yanandadya Sadvagrinanta Tatvacha. Lord Krishna, who is himself powerful time, desired to destroy the false pride of Lord Indra. My dear devotees, Krishna is there as a time factor, and he always wants to destroy the obstacles in the life of his devotees. Especially, Krishna does not tolerate false pride in his devotees. And as a time factor, or in the colloquial English term, within the due course of time, Krishna will pull the proud devotee from his arrogant position and expose him to the world and to the devotee. That is what Krishna always does consistently. There's a famous story in India, which I have told many times, that once there was a king who asked his ministers, what is God's constant work? And the minister didn't know how to answer. I mean, if he would say creation, that would not be the right answer, because Krishna creates only occasionally. So he said, my dear king, for this question we have priests. Let us ask the priest. So they asked the main priest of the kingdom, and the king asked him this question: what is God's constant work? The priest said, give me a week, I have to look in my books. After 1 week he had no answer, and he left the kingdom because he didn't want to be to face the bad consequences of disappointing his king. On his way out, he met a shepherd who was his disciple, and the shepherd said, Guruji, why are you leaving? And he said, because I can't give an answer to our aggressive king. What is the question? Asked the shepherd. What is it to you? Said the guru. If I can't give the answer, you can't give the answer. Let me hear the question. The question is, what is God's constant work? Well, the shepherd said, let me go for you. I will give him the answer. So on the day where the answer was due, the shepherd went before the king. And the king said, so, what is the answer? And the shepherd said, before I can give the answer, I have to correct an incongruity here. You are asking me a question, but sitting higher than me. According to etiquette, the disciple who asked the question should sit lower than the guru. So let's change places, then you get your answer. The king was really boiling. But it was right according to etiquette. So he said, as he was leaving the throne, he said, you better give the right answer. Otherwise, you will see the result of my wrath. So the shepherd sat down high. King was sitting lower. And he said, your question is showing that you're very, very foolish. You don't think very clearly. God's constant work is at work now. He always puts the pride people down and the humble people up. That's what he constantly does. And you see it in your own life. You're now down. So down. The king was, after all, intelligent, and he knew from his own experience that when you are pride, this cannot go for a long time, because it's a vision of the unreality, the falsity. So let's now go to Braj. The Brijbasis were frightened, my dear devotees. Torrents of rain as thick as massive columns submerged the earth with a flood of water. No one could see the path any longer. One gopi had gone to fetch water in the Jamuna, but as the thing came, that bad weather, it was more than bad weather, as Indra sent the clouds, she couldn't find her way back to her house and screamed. It was, you know, it is said that when the universe is destroyed, there is, after earth, water, fire and air, there comes the tenth element, which is under Tamishra, or under Tamasa, deep, deep, blinding darkness. No one could see anything any longer. People were searching for their villages and bumped into each other and got lost in the forest. They screamed, "Where's my village? Where's my village? Where's my house?" And when they reached there, they could not recognize the location. They asked, "Is this such and such village?" "Yes," said someone who could also not see. Some people said, finally, "Look, this is Indra's revenge. Yesterday, we took the ingredients which were meant for his puja and offered Giriraj puja, and Giriraj ate everything with 1,000 hands. Tell Krishna now to call this Giriraj. Giriraj should come now and protect us." That's what the Brijvasis felt. Everything became unrecognizable. The highlands and the lowlands, everything was covered with a flood. Trembling from the distress, the cows try to use their bodies to protect their calves from the heavy, piercing rainfall. At that time, the cowherd men and women remembered a prediction which Garga Muni had once given. The prediction said that by Krishna's grace, all the Brijvasis would cross over all difficulties. And although everything was the deepest chaos, they remembered this one life-saving sentence: by Krishna's grace, they would cross over all difficulties. And all together, they turned to Krishna and they chanted one mantra, which is there in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. It is a mantra which I would like all of us to chant. Let me give you the translation. They said, "Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also." My dear devotees, your own devotion will also be tested. And the test is, can you take shelter in Krishna? A great devotee can be seen in his ability to take shelter in Krishna when there are difficulties. A weak-hearted devotee can be seen that when there are difficulties, he takes shelter in other people who have influence, maybe medicinal arrangements, etc. We have a little organization called Braj Care, and the devotees from the Braj Care went to these devotees at Radhakund. Some of them are 85 years old, and you know, they interviewed them. "How did you come to Radhakund?" And one devotee said, "When I was young, maybe 14, 15, I saw a sign, Vrindavan, and I felt a pulling in my heart, and I went to Vrindavan. Then I saw a sign, Radhakund, and I felt a pulling in my heart and went to Radhakund. And I've given my life now into the hands of Radha." So our Braj Care devotee said, "But you need blankets for the winter, and you have no medication, you have no shoes, no socks." And the devotee said, "I don't need this. I have taken shelter at Radharani's lotus feet. Don't you think that she will supply me with everything I truly need? But here your floor is broken and water comes through." "Oh, that is already since 20 years. I never saw it because I have taken shelter. It's not my duty." We were awestruck when we heard these widows and these old men who were, according to Western calculation really in need, saying we have taken shelter, and since we have taken shelter, we are free of worries. This is something which we still have to approach, maybe, this level of taking shelter. It may not take the same environment, in the same form, but when you have taken shelter, the mind is at peace. Only a person who has not found shelter is easily agitated. Look at Indra. Everything was perfect, but he had no shelter, and therefore the smallest disturbance was like a thorn in his foot, which totally agitated him. This looking for shelter is really the supreme symptom of this Govardhan Katha, and we will hear more about it. But now let us go into the blinding darkness. Let us go to these Brijbasis who are surrounded by a life-threatening flood. Let us go to the cows who try in vain to protect their calves because Indra is bent to destroy them. And let us chant this beautiful mantra. I will say the lines for you, and then please repeat after me. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. Tvannatam Gokulam Prabho. Tratum Mahasi Devanna. Kupitat Bhaktavatsala. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. You know, they are cowherd men. They think of the cows first. O Lord, you are also affectionate to your devotees. Please save us. I would like you to make a little exercise now. Is there a little... Maybe you have a problem in your life, or it's not good to concentrate on problems. We don't want to think of problems because they are like smoke like this smoke here which is there. They show themselves and then they are gone. But please chant and look for shelter at Krishna as you chant. Let us practice this, here at Giriraj's lotus feet. Maybe we can say, my dear Lord, for so long my problem is that I have forgotten you. I have looked for so many shelters and not for you. Please, no, I am your sincere and serious servant in actuality. Please accept me. I chant like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Are you still in your mind, or are you already in the fortress of ashraya, or taking shelter? Please leave the world of the mind, which only offers you some temporary thoughts, and just take fully shelter at Giriraj. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Amara Amara. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.